Machine here, and you're watching Thorin's YouTube channel. 20-minute video for 2 minutes worth of content. Gold.
Everywhere you look, the topic seems to be the season, right? Obviously, right now, if you're in Europe, it's sweltering. Everyone's too warm. It's in the middle of summer, right? We're basically riding this one out as we can. It's making people lose their mind. Obviously, in Counter-Strike, we're calling it seasons now, where we have between the player break. That's why FaZe emphasised that they won the season, because they won kind of each of the major, and Cologne to collect all the prestige events. And of course, esports, bet the industry's leading crypto odds matrix, are running still their season two of the World's Prediction Series contest, which has a $10 million USDT prize pool, up to $800,000 USDT for first place. It's free to enter. They give you some DGT when you go to the website esportsbet.io. Sign up there, start making bets. It's basically a leaderboard. If you get high up enough, you can access the prize money. It's going to cover all the CSGO tournaments for the rest of the year, basically until the major and Worlds and League of Legends at the end of the year. Loads of other games, Dota, League of Legends, Valorant, Rainbow Six, FIFA. You get the point. Now, obviously, Na'Vi, who at the end of last year were the clear number one team, this year have been the clear number two team, if you look over most of the year, have decided to keep SDY, Sumdae Young, who was the stand-in when they benched Boomich, and they've said they're going to keep him at least until the end of the Rio Major, which, assuming they made it to the final of the Major, would be November 13th. And again, obviously, that basically means most of the year. Like, they're not really going to change players this year unless it's for the very end of the year and maybe like one or two tournaments. So realistically, that's going to cover three more tournaments. It's going to cover Blast Spring, which true is the group stage, and then maybe the finals and the showdown. It's going to be ESL Pro League, which obviously this is that round robin best of three format into playoffs, and then the major itself, which in this case will be IEM Rio in Rio, Brazil. So Boomich was benched all the way back on the 28th of May. Obviously, it wasn't that long after the major. They didn't attend IEM Dallas, you'll remember, which is part of what ruined that event, unfortunately. Now, he obviously was benched due to the scandalous things going on in his real life, unfortunately. It wasn't anything that he'd done individually. And then I think that coupled with the whole situation with UK and the Russian conflict, etc., and the fact that it's going to be trickier to get Russians into other countries and the visas, and you're going to like get a new nationality or passport or whatever. So all these factors combined just made it easier to just let him go. And then, spoiler, even though they were a team that had won the major, most people don't think he's an IGL in the true sense that a Carrigan or a Glaive is. And as a result, maybe cynically, they thought they could shed him. And quite frankly, have they been wrong? I mean, it looks to some degree like the team's as good, at least after the conflict began, as they were when they had him, quite frankly. So I don't think that they've even been proven wrong. Now, SDY, should I call him SDY? I mean, I tend to call him Sumdae Young, I think. I think when he stood in at Blast Spring and IEM Cologne, the two events he stood in at, I mean, you can't really argue with the results of the team. The team won Blast outright, including beating FaZe. And then at IEM Cologne, they finished second place and very, very, very narrowly lost to FaZe in that final. And quite frankly, considering that was one of the big events of the year, like, this team could have won both events and could have been the champion. It could be the number one team right now. They only lost over those two events. Two best of three series, best of X rather, series total, which was the opener at Blast, the first of LAN with Sumdae Young. They lost to OG, that crazy one with Dexter standing in and Neo Frag. And so they lost that as a crazy one. I actually called that one, if you remember, on a show. And then actually beat that team in revenge in the semis and then went on and won the event. And then at IEM, they only lost that best of five final to FaZe. One of the closest finals ever, one of the best finals ever. Incredible performance by both teams. And look what it took FaZe to get over the line. Things like Rain having an epic fifth map performance, took a twist, crazy, all these headshots. Like, mate, there's plenty of worlds where Na'Vi could have won both those games. Like, I'd be in terms of the results, I'd be quite happy. I can't say totally, because if you're someone like Blade, you've got the people he has, you want to win every single tournament, and quite frankly, you think that's within the window. But if I'm a neutral observer, I think this is more than good enough in terms of the outcome. So if you look at Na'Vi's form as a team while they've had Sumdae Young, it's been fabulous. Like, look, it's unrealistic to think Na'Vi can truly be the team they were at the end of last year, because I think part of what allowed that was that the rest of their peers, the people contending with them for the titles, were just way, way weaker. It was the likes of Vitality, G2, the worst versions, Heroic, Gambit. These are the teams actually going head-to-head with these guys. So I think NIP even were in the mix. Like, you look at the squads now, look, a lot of them haven't necessarily worked out in terms of we thought it could be a top 10, that'd be crazy. A lot of roster moves haven't worked, and there's going to be plenty of changes and has been among their peers. But A, that's levelling them up, meaning the rest of the year could be even harder. It could be what we thought the first half of the year would be. And then quite frankly, because Faze came along, just the appearance of Faze alone, an all-time great team, winning the big championships was such a clutch factor. Nice ensemble of players, legends like Carrigan and all these types of guys. You do end up with a scenario where they are playing a different set of competition. So against this set of competition, we can't see the newest ones now. I thought overall, the SDY lineup, Sumdae Young, looks good enough. Like, this actually is, I would say, I think you could even argue that the form that they've been in since he joined is actually better than the form over the first part of the year when they had Bumic. I think you could say that. I mean, obviously, there's an extra reason why I shaded in the background of their lives, but I think that's a pretty fair statement to make, actually, if you go look at the overall level of the team. I think, for me, largely, they are a team. Here's the thing, in terms of like most dangerous, they are the most dangerous team in the game. Like, every single team in the game should fear them. They can beat any squad out there. They can even destroy any squad out there, as even the likes of FaZe at Blast found out. Like, they can just run right over every single team, or they can play you close. They're in theory the hardest team to beat in the game, probably. Now, I do think FaZe stylistically has a slight edge, but the key word is slight. Like, if that firepower turns up from Na'Vi, that can be the end of the story. But if it's a close game, FaZe is just extremely good, probably the best team in the world at winning those close games and like coming back in the right scenarios, doing little adaptations, decisive reactions, counter-striking, as it were, not in the sense of the game, but as in like the MMA analogy of hitting after the other person hits you. So the key thing for me is this. I actually think the fact that Na'Vi hasn't won everything this year, and particularly with the Sumdae Young lineup, that's actually more credit to Carrigan and what FaZe has done than it is a diss to Blade, Simple, or Na'Vi. Like, yes, if Simple had played Lights Out CS in all these finals, they'd probably win them all. Even then, though, who can be sure, right? That changes how other people play and then what happens in the round. So it's tough to say. It just seems like, yes, that would have happened. But even then, it's not. He doesn't have to be the best player in the world every single game. Like, why does no one else have that sort of, like, put on them? They don't, right? So what I would say is this. I think, if anything, this just shows how insane Carrigan is and the teams, this particular team that he's been able to construct. Because in theory, the international team, with all the top players who's at the peak of the game with the chance to win championships, when going against the team speaking all one language with at least shared cultural heritage, etc., and who understand, like, culturally what things mean more so than, like, an Estonian with a Norwegian with a fucking Canadian. In theory, it should be actually the CIS Na'Vi squad that should have the edge there in terms of the language, the comms, the understanding of the system, like knowing what each other means, playing off each other. But when you watch them in the game, like, Na'Vi does have an amazing system, and they are very, very, very good at that. Probably the best, obviously they are the best team of just one region. But the thing is, man, FaZe is doing it with the disadvantages with the international squad. So I think, if anything, just give them more credit. It's totally insane what they're able to do. And let's be real. If you look at the way FaZe plays, just like IEM Dallas and Blast, they're going to have off tournaments. And when they have off tournaments, because they're only winning by small margins, they're not blowing a lot of people away, and their map pool's good. But even then, they rely on, like, being able to have those maps in the middle that they can sort of, like, gamble. They'll sometimes win, but they have to win their maps. Like, it's not as simple as saying, like, oh, just FaZe wins everything, then I guess Na'Vi could just never beat them. This is a very back and forth rivalry, and Na'Vi almost certainly will take some scalps from FaZe in the future. So for me, if you're Na'Vi, the good news is this. Every time FaZe doesn't manage to hit fifth gear and can't totally blow it out and can't play top level CS or one of their trifecta of stars has an off tournament, Na'Vi's right there to pick up the pieces and win all those events. And Na'Vi could also beat them head to head. So I think if you're Na'Vi, there's nothing at all to be worried about with the way this year's gone, with the SDY, Sumdae Young edition. It definitely is looking great. The fragging, by the way, continued to be unreal, despite the fact Electronic even swapped to be the IGL, which doesn't even be a problem either. So fragging is still amazing. Simple's the best player in the world, can still frag the best in the world. Electronic frags very, very well on LAN. Bit doesn't frag as well as he did last year, but at the end of the day, still, if he's your, like, third star, he's still a fucking banger, and he's a young rookie still to some degree, so experience wise you don't expect him to be the best. So they've got more than enough. Their trio of stars, no one can fuck with those guys fragging wise. The FaZe trio can play them, but fragging wise right now nobody can stand with these three in any one team. So you've already got the fragging on your side if you're Na'Vi all the time, pretty much. You've got the best player on your side all the time, and then the in-game leader angle, it doesn't seem like they missed a beat since Electronic came in and Bumic went out. That's why, unfortunately, it always sounded like we were Jason Bumic, because we just don't really think he's a true IGL. He isn't the source of all those ideas. He might have been making simple calls, but even then, the overall structure, the playbooks, they all seem to come from Blade, and the other players seem to already have their say anyway, if they were electronic or simple. So then you consider they've still got the best player in the world in simple. Remember, people like Nico and Z, who fell off when player changes were made simple, hasn't he? He's still going with it, some Dai Young, with his Bumic, with it was Zeus back in the day, it doesn't matter. And then crucially, the team structure and the discipline of the team seems to be the same. In fact, I could even argue, bearing in mind they've got a player that's a stand-in in some Dai Young and hadn't had much practice time with them, it looks maybe even better than ever. Because I thought you'd see the weaknesses, but when I was watching, particularly at Blast, but generally throughout these two tournaments, it's incredible the way that this team plays together. Like, when they're in sites, they don't needlessly peek out a CT and just get picked off and suddenly you can just enter the site. They make it really hard for you to enter and crouch, cover all the angles and use all your utility out. When they're on the T side, they don't just needlessly push on a site early for no good reason, allow it to be used in gunfight. They will play a cat and mouse game with you, and they will hold off, and they'll check if you're going to rotate off, and if you try to do an information peek, there'll be a guy waiting there. They've done such a good job of all being on the same page and knowing what the game plan is. And crucially for me, that suggests, like, this almost makes me feel like when Blade was an IGL, because normally I'd put that to the IGL and I'd say, right, you've got your protocol sorted, as in you've not only explained like the order of things, but you've even explained sort of like how you make your decisions, so they can make decisions like you. So I actually think people like Fallen did years and years back in the day, and people like Glaive and Zonic clearly had done in Astralis. So the key isn't just that, like, right, in this scenario, I would do this. It's like, because we know that you would do that, then I can make my decision off that. We don't even have to comment necessarily. It just becomes second nature eventually. We all know what goal we're trying to achieve, what we're reverse engineering here with our play and our decisions in the game. That aspect seems to be working amazingly in Na'Vi. Sun Dai Young seems to have fit it already, despite the fact, yes, he obviously makes a few mistakes. And quite frankly, I also think, as a little bit of foreshadowing, that suggests in the future, when they have to bring in another player in the future, whether for him or for someone else, because one day they will have to change players, this system seems like it can keep rolling. And remember, the Astralis system never did survive past Magisk, did it? Like, it was good with Kirby, and, you know, the difference is this thing looks like it could roll for years and years and years, as long as you keep a couple of these players for like something electronic or simple and bit or something. Then consider that if you actually look at Sun Dai Young himself, he definitely didn't ruin the team or bring them down at all, as far as I can tell. They don't need fragging from him. He can just be a supportive element, which he's doing a decent job of, and just holding sights. But occasionally he'll have a map where he'll do some fragging. I would say his fragging's more like the multi-kills when you rush his sight or pistol rounds. That seems more like CT stuff to me. Like, he seems to be doing a pretty decent job there. So in terms of what he's adding, he's not taking anything away. He seems to be adding a little bit. The team's already very good. Then you got to consider the map pool looks really strong again, thanks to all these wins they're having and how they're playing. Like, believe it or not, with some Dai Young in Overpass, they're undefeated. They're 4-0. And when you consider they're beating some of the names that they're beating, they're actually starting to look like that was the map earlier this year you could get them on. You could maybe push them to that or get them as a third map and you might have a chance to beat Na'Vi. That's suddenly starting to look really strong again for them. Then you consider Dust 2, they're unbeaten on that one, 3-0. They're beating the likes of OG and FaZe. I mean, that's another map that was one that's supposed to be more in the middle to Na'Vi when you're getting them on the dodgier period this year. Mirage, which, look, Mirage should be a back and forth map. Yeah, they're 5-3 on that. But one was the loss to OG, which started out with the brand new SDY lineup. One was a 14-16 loss to Mouse, so barely a loss. And by the way, Mouse obviously had some map that, like, historically they've always been going on. One was the loss to FaZe in the final of the major. Again, incredibly, incredibly close. That's the other thing about Na'Vi. They don't get blown out. They can lose, but you have to really put in your work to put them out of the tournament or put them out of a match because of how much they frag and how well the system works and how many maps it works on, guys. So even the Mirage, still very, very good. Still one of the best teams in the world on that map. Nukes started to come back into play. They're 3-1. The one loss was a 14-16 to FaZe in epic fashion. Aside from that, they can beat Mouse, Nape, Astralis. These are teams that play this map, boys. Like, they're, again, one of the best teams in the world on Nuke. Inferno, sure, that has fallen away. That last year was amazing. Now it's only 3-3. But one of the losses was a 14-16 loss to OG. It's not the end of the world. One loss was to Movistar and one was to FaZe. These ones at this tournament. But one, the Movistar star result came in the group winners match where they not only won the match, but if you lost, you were still in the playoffs anyway. So it wasn't a true, like, elimination or match. You played for something important. And then the other one was in the final again, which was one of the greatest finals of all time. That was the opening map, if you remember. Then on Ancient, they're 1-1. They lost to OG, but they beat FaZe and OT, right? I actually think if you go and look at this, What would you be scared of in that map pool? If you're Na'Vi, like, you're like, hey, we could play all sorts of teams in. If they beat us, it's close. And then obviously they don't play Vertigo anyway, so you can just throw that out of the mix. Like, it's not like you're going to pick Ancient into them all the time. Yeah, you might pick some Inferno against them. Still going to win half the time. Nuke and Mirage. Like, see what I mean? The map pool's starting to get good again, guys. And the more SDY players, the more comfortable he's going to get. Now, here's the thing. In amongst all of this, of course, Esports Bet will be covering the Blast Summer, or whatever it is, Blast Fall, let me think, it's Fall, yeah, Blast Fall groups. And so I'm going to actually do a little bet for you. I'm going to bet on a team. It's not going to be Na'Vi, obviously, because as you'll see, Na'Vi plays against Complexity. I'm going to do the other game in the group. I'm going to go G2 against Team Liquid. And by the way, they already have the Pro League matches up, even though they're like 15, 16 days away. So anyway, here we are for the Blast Fall finals. It's the group stage part, obviously. Now, as I say, I'm not betting on Na'Vi because they're already 1.212. Remember, this is LAN and it's best of one to start out with. So listen, even though, yes, it's very likely Na'Vi beats Complexity, I'm not doing a BO1 on that sort of garbage in this particular setting. Like, yes, I think it would likely happen, but I just don't like it overall. Instead, what I'm going to go for is this one. I'm going to say that when G2 plays against Team Liquid, right, here's where it gets tricky. Is obviously they're bedding in Yekindar and Team Liquid. They'll have had a bit more time together, but they cannot know what G2 was going to be like beyond scrims. So when you consider G2 has Hunter, Nico, Monacy, they're adding in JKS and Huxley. I actually think they get the honeymoon. I think they actually win the opener. So bang a man, I can get 1.627 for a BO1. I'm going to say they do it. Also, by the way, spoiler, I'm going to do the max I can do. I'm going to do 827 USDT in Tether. I'm going to say that G2 wins it because I think they've got more firepower, they've got better pieces, I think they're going to hit the ground running at least in this opener. I think the map pool's fine. I think Liquid didn't show enough strength and that they can certainly win any key maps. And no one really knows what level they're in yet. I actually think overall they're going to be a better team with Yekindar. But I think G2 actually steals the opener here for me. Now, in terms of Sum Dae-young himself, the stats aren't that crazy. It's like 0.98 rating with Na'Vi, 0.61 kills per round, 0.62 deaths per round. So basically, it's almost like a zero is the plus minus. 0.81 impact, so nothing crazy on that one either. The key thing for me is this. It's kind of a weird concept because I'm not going to actually praise Sum Dae-young. I think he's playing okay or fine or good for him. But in terms of Na'Vi, I don't think he's like the exception. I don't think he's some like amazing piece that perfectly fits. I think the key thing is he's just not a negative and he's not adding too much. He's just actually allowing the rest of the amazing squad to succeed, essentially allowing the others to win the game. And I think in that sense, he's actually a bit less streaky individually than Boomich. So if Electronic can cover being IGL, I think you could even argue. That's why I said I think the structure and the discipline might even end up being better. I think the actual structure might fit together a tiny bit better. I thought Boomich was a little bit too sort of aggro sometimes, even though he could sort of make it work when they were at their absolute best. The key thing is this. I have a principle that I always say, which is when a lineup can win, a great lineup, I know whether you say this is great, it's only won a Blast so far, sure. When a great lineup wins, you don't ever break it up until you know it can't win anymore. That doesn't mean like can't win in any context. It means that like, it's just not gonna, like, you're not if you have to play like 15 lands to win one, yeah, that's already broken. Point is, when you know it just doesn't win, like, there's a reason why, now you can break it up. Because the problem is, you never mess with chemistry when it works. So to me, this lineup actually suggests it can win. Right now, I would keep this lineup together for exactly that reason. I wouldn't gamble on another one. The rest of the team is so magical, and it's such an incredible window in history to have, especially those three fraggers particularly, and then Perfecto is like a super clutch fucking support player. If you have that core of players, and you can find someone who makes that work, or who can be added and doesn't subtract from it, stick with it. Like, you cannot ever know when you will have something like that again. And this, if you do a big change, which even if you brought in a bigger name, could be that you could kill the Golden Goose. You never know. You could make this more of a super team and blow it up entirely. So to me, the key thing is, first of all, I think it's amazing that this Blade system appears possible to handle these moves. Even changing out the IGL, changing someone else to the IGL, bringing someone in for that guy, and then putting him in some of his spots, but not the others. And then it was a guy who once upon a time was a Fragger in spirit. Like, that is ridiculous in and of itself. Because I used to think, like, 2, 3, 4 years ago, sometimes he used to look to me at times like the best player in spirit, or like one of the top two players, but he was like a star player for me. In the latter years, he fell off with his game more. Maybe he was more about like decision making, the raw fragging power. So to me, like, I think it's amazing they've really been able to incorporate this guy, because it suggests to me, not that they could incorporate anyone, but they could incorporate a lot of different players and still reconfigure this to be mainly the same system with the same priorities and hierarchy of values, as it were. So I think that's super, super sick what Blade's been able to accomplish, what he's actually put in place here. It shows how much much of it was on him. It's quite satisfying to see that it wasn't just the Boomich angle and it wasn't all these like silly storylines. Then add in, think of the players they brought in. So, okay, we can't quite know who got Boomich. Like, I've heard maybe Blade was involved with some of that as well and looking at who could do it. But people say it was Zeus or Na'Vi picked him or whatever, or someone suggested him. Let's put the Boomich one on one side. After that came Perfecto. Now, if Blade really was the one who picked up Perfecto, saw him on Simon Gaming, was like, he would fit these roles. And somehow knew he would become some sort of amazing Russian Zipmix. I think that's incredible. What an insane eye for talent Blade has. But then he went and got Bit to replace Flamey. Flamey was always your X Factor, right? Bit has ended up being an even better X Factor. He's basically making good on what Flamey should have been all those years back in 2016, 2017, etc. When we thought he could be one of these types of players on LAN. So you found this guy, and then after that, you picked up some Dai Young, which apparently Blade went out, looked at the demos, looked at who could play some of our spots or the spots we need or where can we fit him. And this is the guy he picked. This guy's eye for talent is unbelievable, guys. If I'm Na'Vi, I'm actually getting Blade and I'm saying, here's your promotion, mate. You're still the coach, but you're also like director of like, you know, Counter-Strike operations, and you'll also pick every player. You'll have some say more in the GMing as well. Like, I would give this guy the keys to the car at this point in time. He's just shown it. If you're smart, this is where Astralis fucked up, in my opinion. You make sure Blade is in your organization for the next 10 years in Counter-Strike, because you could accomplish so much in this game if he is. Now, as I said earlier, but I want to address this, there were rumours, obviously, earlier on, maybe it's Yekinda. Now, we thought that was mainly because it was Electronic might be leading the team. The other one was because he's left the VP lineup now. What about Boster? Like, is Boster a very long-time player of the VP? Now, Outsiders, like, maybe he comes and joins. Now, here's the thing. The Yekinda one would have been interesting, but it made more sense if it was Electronic leaving. The Boster one's not terrible to replace Boomich. I could see him being like maybe adding more fragging once he got comfy. I don't necessarily know that he'd be a supporter of some Dai Young. And I actually do think that you can't just, it's not like Perfecto, you can't play every spot because you're fucking a support player. Like, you need multiple people. So if Electronic is clearly more of the entry and more of the fragger, and he's the IGL, you need more support elements elsewhere. So I actually think some Dai Young in that sense is on the right end of the spectrum for where he is in his career to go with Perfecto and be more on that side of the equation. So I think that actually makes sense. There's a logic to that. Whereas I actually think even though a Yekinda move could potentially make you the absolute greatest team of all time, the gamble's enormous as well. That's a player who hasn't got the full experience himself. Self is someone where you might need to tune how you use him in the team. I don't think you can just chuck him in any old spot. I don't think you can just use him to run through a wall like a pure entry like people think they can. I think you need the right sort of team and the right sort of comms for that. And then the Buster one, like I say, maybe it can give you more fragging, but I wouldn't gamble the chemistry, bearing in mind I already think they've got enough fragging. I don't think it's lack of fragging beyond simple sometimes not turn up in the final that's costing these guys the match. I actually think it's other factors at play, and they're almost winning all these games, boys. So if you look at how my team model always went, in terms of the stars, I always say you got your two stars, because you usually need at least two fraggers to get your fragging done. And then the third one is a third star, right? So in this case, obviously it's Bit, he's more on the fragging side, or maybe it's Electronic, he's more on the fragging star. So that means we need more extremely good players in the supportive roles, and particularly because there's no IGL here, people who can do things and understand the model, crucially from Blade, because when the IGL himself is a support or an entry, which it can be a supportive element, it just makes it easier because it takes one role off his plate. He can just think in his mind, like off the other people's plate rather. He can think in his mind, but I'm going to do that and it's going to be part of the approach. You have to potentially coordinate with someone and then be the IGL. That's a different setup. So I think the way they've set up this team seems quite shrewd so far. By the way, speaking of being shrewd, trying to min-max, trying to find the angles that make sense, if you do a deposit of any crypto, like I obviously just bet with Tether there, onto the esports bet, they will match it. And in fact, more so, they'll go 50x as bonus DJT, which are the tokens they use for the World's Prediction Series 2 competition earlier. So if you were to put on $100 in Tether onto the site, not only would you have the 100 USDT to bet with, but you'd also get 5,000 DJT to bet in the World's Prediction Series 2 competition. This video was kindly supported by Kill Your Inner Loser, Ahmed Haju, Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Paul Villa, Travis Goff, Adam Oaks, Animosity, Bot Pounder 420, Hades, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Piercy, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to Jerky's Minion. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my shows? Would you like to ask a question in my Patreon AMA? Maybe you want teasers, find out who the next Reflections guests are or upcoming talk show guests. Do you want to take part in one of those long donator discussions with me? Well, if any of the above or more sound interesting to you, put your money where your mouth is. Join the Skrilluminati today via the Patreon link in the description box below.